You don't have to answer us out loud, answer it in your own mind. What makes you happy? Now, as I was writing this introduction, I thought some of the men are going to say, nothing makes her happy. So I hope you're not thinking that, or wives, vice versa. But thinking about yourself, what is the thing in your life that you really look forward to and brings you the greatest joy? Now, why is that important? Why is it important to nail down the thing that brings you the greatest joy, the greatest rejoicing in your life? This is where you answer. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's scripture, isn't it? The thing that brings you the most joy is the thing that you're going to think about the most, the thing that you're going to work for the most, the thing you're going to pursue the most in your life. So when you nail down what gives you the greatest joy, it's going to show you where your greatest priority is in life. Now, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and Paul asked that very question. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he says in verse 19, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?" Paul says in this question, number one, what is the thing that brings I anticipate or have great expectation about? What is that thing that I really desire? This time of year, what are your children? What's their great expectation? Christmas presents, right? We already celebrated Christmas in Florida, which is really hard to do, you know, and it's 80 degrees outside. But once Lily got the word there were presents, for 2 hours it was, I don't know why they told her ahead of time. But for 2 hours it was nonstop. Is it time yet? Are we going to open the presents yet? There was great anticipation. Now, Paul is asking, what is the greatest desire that we have? What's the most important thing? And then he said, what is the not only our hope, but our joy, the thing that brings us cheerfulness or delight or gladness? You know, it's interesting. At Christmas time, the word joy is used a lot. We even have, what's the song? Joy of the World, that's easy enough. In Luke 2:10, the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you great tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The wise men, you'll see the program tonight. When they saw the star, they did what? They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So there's a lot of joy in Christmas, or there's supposed to be. But what is the thing that brings you joy? What's the thing that you look forward to? And then he says, what is the crown of our rejoicing? What is the greatest victory? Now, he's talking here about the victor's crown. In the time of when the Bible was written, there were two crowns. The crown of royalty. There was also the victor's crown. And, of course, that had to do with the Olympics. Have got the ability now to record a lot of stuff. And so the last several years we've had Olympics, we just record everything. And then you can fast forward through all the human interest stuff and actually watch the events. But my wife's favorite part, what do you think it is? Actually, her favorite part is the award ceremonies, especially when somebody from the United States wins, of course. Now think about it. These folks have trained their whole life for this event, and they won. And boy, you see them up there, and often they're weeping. They're so excited that they've won. And of course, the national anthem is played, and they have won the victory. They've won the victor's crown for that event, and they have great joy. What is the thing that in your life, when you get it, when you achieve it, it brings you the greatest joy? Now, I'll be honest with you, we probably could stop right there and have an invitation, and we'd all have to come forward. Because the simple matter of fact is, folks, most of the answers that we would give are not eternal things. So there's his question. Here's the answer. Before we get to the answer, I want to give some feedback. What are some possible answers? Now, this is not confession, okay? But what might people say are things that bring them the greatest joy, the thing they anticipate the most, the thing that once they get it, boy, they're just overjoyed. What are some things? Money. And I think we could broaden that to possessions. Now, I made a mistake a couple weeks ago and mentioned a specific car, so I won't do that today, okay? But for some people, it is their automobile. It may be, boy, when I get that house, or when I get that done to the house. It may be, you know, if I could just get that big screen, you know, that 72-inch. They make them bigger than that. Is there like an 80-inch or something? 102-inch, there you go. I think Leroy wins. Takes up the whole wall in his house, and he sits 4 feet away from it, you know, I can imagine.
$25,000.
That bonus, you know, the raise. You know, the simple matter of fact, for most people, their greatest joy is stuff. It's possessions. But secondly, not only possessions, but pleasure. Maybe physical pleasure. Maybe, you know, that special vacation. That certain activity. And ladies, I'm not going to say shopping, okay? I won't do that. When your sports team wins, it's amazing to me how I get tied up with a team playing a ball game. You know, life is over. They lost. It's amazing. It's interesting, though, when I come on a Sunday morning and UT is played on Saturday, and I walk down the hallway and I walk into the lobby, guess what I hear people talking about? Usually it's half the time this year it's been their greatest joy and half the time in their greatest sadness. But we're consumed with these things. Some of you might know this. I read this week that some pitcher got signed for, what was it? Was it $150 million or something? And I thought, something is wrong in this world because a guy can throw a ball 90 miles an hour across a little white plate, he's making $200 or $150 million in 3 or 4 or 5 years. What in the world is going on? It may be, and probably you don't deal with this as much as you did when you were younger, but popularity. You know, I just want people to like me. I want people to say, thank you, Bob, say nice things about me. You know? Okay. We live for men's applause. Now, let's just be honest with ourselves. Now, I am not saying that it's wrong to have a nice car. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a nice house. But if that is the epitome of joy for us, we've got a real problem. Now, it's interesting, all the three things I've talked about are all found in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. You don't need to turn there. But what does that verse say? Anybody know? 1 John 2:15, 16, 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, let's be honest, folks. Most of our joy, happiness, contentment comes from things in the world. Now, I can understand that for an unsaved person. That's all they've got. But for us as believers, I don't have to try to be consumed with stuff. It just happens. And you turn around and all of a sudden, all you care about is stuff. Now, what does Paul say, or John say in 1 John? He says, if any man love the world, love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world does what? Passeth away. Isn't it a shame that the majority of stuff that consumes our life is all temporary? Now, again, I know you have to work. Good morning. I know you have to have a vehicle to drive. I know all these things. You got to have clothes to wear. I know all that. But the thing the Lord has convicted me about, folks, is that if all of my happiness and joy and contentment is found in that stuff, I'm wasting my life. Because all that stuff, by the way, all that stuff can be gone in a heartbeat. You know? Now, the church gave me an automobile 5 or 6 years ago, and boy, I have loved it. But you know what? In about 15 seconds or less, it can be destroyed. We've been working on our house now forever. Oh, I'm so tired of working that house. Hallelujah. I can see the light. I hope it's not a train coming. I don't know. But we get so consumed with, you know, when I die, what's going to happen to that house? Well, who knows? I mean, my wife's already said if I die, she's moving. So I don't I don't know what that means, but I'm a little concerned about that. Yeah, she's moving to Florida. That's exactly right. But it's gone. It's gone. And the simple matter of fact is, folks, about everything that we get so concerned about, is it's all temporary. It's all temporary. Now, let's look at Paul's answer. He says, for what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Here it is. Are not ye even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Now, notice the setting. What's the setting? What's the event? What's the event is he talking about here? It's pretty clear. It's right there in the passage. Second coming of Christ. He said, you know what? The thing that concerns me the most, the things that I get the greatest joy from, is going to occur when the Lord returns. He said, that's what I'm concerned about, is when the Lord returns. And he said, you know what? The thing that matters to me is heaven and eternity. Now again, folks, this convicts my heart. I get so torn up about things that just in the long run don't really matter. They don't really matter. When I was in Ohio this last year, when my mom passed away, I was staying at my brother's house. And in fact, this I think was, she was still in the hospital. And he works a night shift. And he came in the next morning and said, man, I am so sorry. I thought, what in the world has happened? Well, I had parked my car out here, and he backed out of his garage. He wasn't used to anybody's car being there, and he hit my car. First scratch. You know, I said, hey, it's okay. And now, don't tell my wife I said this, but she had to drive my car one day, and she's not used to pulling out of the garage. And if you tell her this, I'm in big trouble, so don't do it, okay? And so we ate, and she said, I wanted to eat first before I told you this. I thought, oh, that sounds good. And she said, I was pulling out of the garage, and I scraped the front of the car on the garage side there. I said, dear, it's a car. It's a car. What does it matter? And folks, we just need to realize that everything around us is temporary, and we need to live that way. Paul said, look, I realize that Christ is coming back someday, and he said, the important thing is what's eternal, and I'm going to nail that down in just a minute, but I want to read you something by what Hudson Taylor said. Now, who's Hudson Taylor? Missionary to China, pioneer missionary, won thousands of Chinese to the Lord, was influential in getting many, many missionaries to the field. And he says, well do I remember the effect when God was pleased to open my own heart to the great truth that the Lord Jesus was coming again and that he might come at any time. I had not many books, but it sent me to see if I could give a good account of all I had and also the contents of my little wardrobe. The result was some of the books disappeared before long and some of the clothing too. It was an immense spiritual blessing to me to review our things in the light of his speedy return. I also find it a profitable spiritual exercise to see what we can do without. Now that, boy, that convicts my heart. I don't know if I've ever tried to do without. I've always tried to do with. And he said, is it important to remember that we are stewards who have to give an account of everything that we retain? And unless we can give a good reason for the retention, shall we not be ashamed when the master comes? And since he may come any day, is it not well to be ready every day? I do not know any truth that has been a greater blessing to me through life than this. Let us make earth a little less homelike and souls more precious. Jesus is coming again, and so soon. Will he find us really obeying his last command? Now, what was the thing he was concerned about at the second coming of Christ? Are not ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? What's his main concern? What is the thing, folks, that brought Paul his greatest joy, his greatest hope, his greatest crown of victory? What was it? Those that he influenced for Christ for all eternity. And he said, you know, the thing that can bring me the greatest joy is when the rapture occurs, and as we're going up, I see you Thessalonians that I won to Christ. How you doing with that? Folks, we need to get serious about what's important to God. And again, I'm not telling you to go sell your house or sell your car or whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm gonna let the Lord take care of that. But what I am saying is, folks, we need to be involved doing things that are eternal. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean you have to be called to the ministry and be in full-time Christian service. But it does mean that somewhere in your life, you ought to be influencing people for Christ. Now, by the way, that may be in the home. Many of you have children in the home. What's the most important thing about your children? That they can hit a baseball 357 feet. That they can throw a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. Is that the most important thing? No, what's the most important thing? That they're saved and living for Christ. That's the most important thing. Now, again, I'm not against sports. I love playing ball. But it needs to be in its place. Right priorities. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think back over this week. What eternal investments did you make this week? What did you do this week that's going to last for all eternity? And by the way, it doesn't have to be something you hate. Micah's sitting here this morning, and he preached the guys Monday night, basketball. Something he loves to do is play basketball. God gave him a ministry where he can do what he loves to do, and he gets to preach these guys. And by the way, it's amazing what's happening. I don't know how many we had Monday. It must have been 35 or 40. There was a mob. And you preached probably 30 minutes. He gave the lesson that Steve taught here last Sunday. And those guys keep coming back every week. They're crazy. I don't know what's wrong with them yet. I tell you, if I was an unbeliever or not living for the Lord, I wouldn't sit through that just to play basketball. But they keep coming. Who did you influence for Christ this week? Because the simple matter of fact is, folks, that's all that's going to last forever. Now, again, as a parent, boy, and we can make that application. Dads, how much time did you spend with your children influencing them for Christ? Did you read the Bible with your children this week? Did you pray with your children this week? Husbands, how much influence for Christ did you have in your wife's life? Who is supposed to be the spiritual leader in the home? The man. Who is the spiritual leader in many homes? The wife. Why is that? Because the man's not. See, I'm not saying, folks, that you've got to quit your job and you've got to go to China and you've got to be a missionary to have an influence for Christ. Folks, you can have an influence for Christ right where you are. How many of you work somewhere, a secular job somewhere away from the home? How many? Raise your hand. Now look at that. And probably none of you, or very few of you, work at the same place. That's your mission field. That's where you can have an influence for Christ. That's where you can do something that is eternal. How many of you ever go buy groceries? Guys, when your wife makes you. You can have influence for Christ. Saturday morning, I got biscuits and gravy over here at Burger King. And I gave the girl a track, and she kind of laughed. It was kind of strange. I don't know. Maybe it's because I go there every Saturday, and I'm giving her a track for the last 52 weeks. I'm not sure. But that's an influence for Christ. Many of you work in the bus ministry. What are you doing? You're investing your life for Christ. Some of you are involved in the music ministry. What are you doing? At least I hope you're doing. You're investing your life for Christ. Some of you are involved in all kinds of ministries in the church. What are you doing? You're investing your life for Christ. And folks, that is the thing that should bring us the greatest joy, the thing we look forward to the most, serving Christ. No matter where you are. Again, I'm not saying, look, you need to go out soul winning 5 hours every day. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that John at AT&T, you can be a witness. I'm saying that Scott at the hospital, you can be a witness. I'm saying Craig at your job there in Bristol, you can be a witness. You can have an influence for Christ. And I tell you, folks, if you've ever won anybody to Christ, you know there is no greater joy than sitting down with somebody, giving them the gospel, and seeing them, hear them pray and trust Christ, and then see them in church and grow and go for the Lord. One of the greatest joys of my life was leading Brother Searcy and Mrs. Searcy to the Lord years ago. And to see them get in church, and the Mosiers took them under their wing and discipled them, and they stayed in church, and he loved to hand out those little smiley books that the fair people use. He loved to hand those out. Everywhere he went, he handed them out. He just thought it was the greatest thing in the world. Talk about bringing the joy. And not momentary joy, but lasting joy. And I tell you what, folks, the greatest joy is going to be when the rapture occurs and the dead in Christ rise first. And going up, I'm going to say, hey, Brother Searcy, good to see you. Talk about joy. Now, my regret is that I cannot give you a list of 80 or 90 or 100 people that I know I've influenced for Christ and seen them saved and seen them going up in the rapture. So here's what I want you to ponder this week. What brings you the greatest joy? And what should bring you the greatest joy? I'm afraid that as a church body, we have very little influence on this world, because we are consumed with all the stuff of the world, and that's where our joy is. That's where our hope is. And it's not influencing and impacting people for Christ. When our greatest joy, starting with Larry Gallion to Diana Gallion to Micah Johnson, when our greatest joy, when everybody in this room is impacting people for Christ, then we'll change this world. Until then, we won't. Can you say like Paul, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Notice this last verse. For ye are our glory and joy. The people that he had impacted for Christ, that was his joy. That was his joy. And you don't have to be a missionary like the Apostle Paul. You don't have to be a preacher like the Apostle Paul. God has not called you to that ministry. That's fine. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't have an impact for Christ. I think it's 2 John, John said, talking about Gaius, a man who was not his own child, was his spiritual child. He said, I rejoice that my children do what? Walk in the truth. Walk in the truth. Let me be honest with you. My greatest joy in heaven will not be that my children have made millions and millions of dollars, which is a good thing because they're not going to. But my greatest joy in life, even now, is when my children walk in truth. And to be honest with you, my greatest grief in life is when my children do not walk in the truth. Now, our job is to influence them and try to impact them and pray for them so that they will walk in the truth. But it doesn't just stop with our children. It should continue with everybody we have an impact on. Anybody you influence this week for Christ. That should be our greatest joy. And when that becomes our greatest joy, we're going to have great influence. And we're going to do great things for God. And we'll see God do great things through us. Okay? All right. Now, by the way, I know that I've worked you over pretty good today. But realize I got it three times. You know, when I studied, when I prayed, when I taught. So, you know, I got a lot worse than you did. All right? Lord, we do thank you for this truth today. And God, how it's convicted my heart. And God, all too often in life, my joy are things that are not eternal. Lord, help us to have our greatest joy of serving you in impacting people for Christ. And I pray that you'd help all of us, convict us, help us to make needed changes that we might be used by you. And my, what a joy it'll be when you return to be able to see people going to heaven and in heaven that you've allowed us to win to you and impact for you. Help us, I pray, to have an eternal mindset, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.